helping your daddy the last time y'all sung for me in revival at Vaughn. I don't remember who, which one it was. But they had a lot of memories listening to you sing tonight. I am glad for what the Lord does. All right. If you got your Bibles, you open to Hebrews chapter 11, where we'll be tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. That isn't love. Good job. Glad that you sung. All right. Before we get into the message tonight, so you got that ready for me? All right. Wait just a second. Well, you got it. I don't know if you can read it or not. We'll try it there. You got the other screen? All right, that'll work. I'll read that for you here in just a minute, and the best I can. And I want to explain something. Tonight, we have a missionary in the Philippines, and we have a missionary in Kenya. All right, that's what we have here, right? And then we have, 9,500 of missionaries in the United States. Right? Now, there's 8 billion people on the planet, thereabout. Everybody listening? All right? And we all wonder, how can we all get the gospel? Do you realize that when Jesus told the disciples after his resurrection to go therefore into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, teach and preach and baptize and make disciples. Everybody still with me? And did you realize that in one generation, the world today can be reached with the gospel by one church? By this church alone. All right. In one generation, can reach 8 billion people with the gospel. All right. Everybody follow me? Now that is a possible thing. That's how it was laid out in the Word of God to be done. All right. Now, the way I understand then how many generations, where's Rick at? How many generations in 2,000 years, roughly? What's the generation, 70? What are we looking at? 20 generations? All right. 20 generations reaching the world 20 times since Christ arose. That would be a fair assumption. Would that not be if you do it in a generation? Everybody still follow me? Now, let me show you how. All right. I don't know how far you can see. I was hoping that would be bigger than that. But anyway, up at the top, it says, if we followed God's method of evangelism by multiplication rather than mere addition, the world can literally be reached by one church or even one man in one generation. All right. Now listen carefully. All right. If we win 1,000 souls per day, that's not enough. If we won, well, you say one man can't win 1,000 souls a day. Well, I agree. That'd be hard-pressed to do that, right? All right. There's two things I want you to think about. It's not only getting people saved, it's discipling people. The Bible don't just tell us to go win souls. He tells us to disciple people. Okay? Everybody still follow me? Now, if one man who won just one man and discipled him so that the following year they reached and discipled 2, and then the next year repeated again, and the next year, then they could win the world in one generation. Everybody listening to me? Everybody understand me so far? You can win the whole world in one generation by discipling people, not just knocking on a door and having to make a profession, but discipling people, all right? And you look at it like this. Look at the power of multiplication. In year one, you have two. In year two, you have four. In year three, you have eight. In year four, you have 16. In year five, you have 32. In year six, you have 64. In year seven, you have 128. In year eight, you have 256. In year nine, you have 512. And then in 10 years, you ain't got but 1,024 people. So, well, there ain't no way you're going to get it done. Because that's just 1,000 people, right? Everybody, if you understand what I'm telling you, talk to me. All right. But look how it picks up then. In year 11, it's 2,048. In year 12, it's 4,096. In year 13, it's 8,192. Let's see, where am I at 13? In year 14, it's 16,000. In year 15, it's 32,000. In 16, it's 65,000. In 17 years, it's 131,000. In 18 years, it's 264,000 or 262,000. Let's drop down. In 25 years, it's then multiplied to 33 million. In 30 years, it's then multiplied to 1,073,000,000. In 31 years, it's 2 billion. In 32 years, it's 4 billion. In 33 years, it's 8.5 billion. And just in 33 years, the whole world is reached. In just 34 years. Ain't that amazing? Huh? And the Lord's give us, how many generations are here tonight? Three. There's three generations here tonight. There's three here tonight. Let's see, Carolyn. You and Danny Russell, Miss Hope, Steve Dorsey, Gene Thomas, yeah, y'all's one generation. Then me, Cheryl, Boyd, Gene, Teddy, then we're one generation. Actually, there's four generations here. Huh? Right? There's four generations here. And then Philip and Marcus ain't here, but Landon's here, so that's the fourth generation with Lana. Hannah was that age group. You see, we got a fourth generation here. That means that by the time that Landon is 50 years old, okay, before you're 50, then what's in the church tonight, we've done reached the world four times. We've done reached the world four times by the time before Landon's 50 years old. Now, ain't that amazing? Now, the proof's right there just in numbers. What is it? Liars figure, but figures don't lie. Right? Right? So I do believe maybe we probably ought to get busy. What do you think? What do you think? Do you realize that if we had been doing, if we had been doing what we're supposed to have been doing, when I look here, been here now 20 years, what is the mark? 1,048,576 that we should have done reached right here. Out of this church. Huh? Well, wait a minute. I've been in the ministry 39 years. 39 years. Well, I don't need that many. 33 is all I needed. It was 8 billion. I'm just telling you, we probably ought to be busy. Because we ain't been doing what we're supposed to be doing. See, what Jesus laid out for us to do works. Are you with me tonight? Are you understanding me tonight? Think about that. I don't know if when I seen that, I said, "What?" I said, "Oh my, oh my." So that's just I just thought now with a missionary to the Philippines here tonight, a missionary to Kenya, see how easy that would be. Huh? It'd be easy, wouldn't it? All right, we better pray, hadn't we? Father, I come. Lord, you're so wonderful to us. Lord, I love you, and I ask you, Lord, to help me tonight. We give just a few thoughts this evening to magnify your name, to glorify you. Help us tonight to trust you more, I pray. Please cleanse me of anything like sin, anything that would be just a hint of it, a shadow of it. Lord, I need to walk where you want me to walk tonight, that your word might be promoted and proclaimed. And Lord, that it's not us, it's not a church, it's not us, it's you. Help us to remember that tonight. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. Let's look at a couple of things tonight. We're in Hebrews again, chapter 11. And to go back just for a moment this morning, I don't know if you would count this part two or not. It's not going to be near as in-depth maybe as it was this morning. But we go right back to the same scripture, and we look at by faith Moses is where we was at this morning in verse 24. I'd like to go back and read that if I could just for a moment. Verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses. And we dwelt on that a lot that we might understand that it's got to be my faith. I can't go off the ones before me's faith. I'm going to have my own. And we've preached it many times, and we tell you again tonight, you got to have your own. You're going to have your own faith and have that personally with God. You've got to have it. We're living in hard times. We're living in desperate times, and we're going to have to walk by faith, live by faith, and serve by faith in every way. We're going to have to. Said by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, and we give you three things then. By faith is how, and the three things that needs to be done is he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then he esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And we just tried to simply show us this morning that we need faith, and we need to stop and say, "I've had enough. I'm not going. I'm not taking the things of the devil. I'm not giving place to the devil. I'm going to abstain from the appearance of evil, even if you would, and I'm going to stand for God. Enough is enough." And we stand there, and that's refuse. Somewhere we're going to have to refuse. Then we're going to have to choose. And there's choices to be made. And you say, "Well, I'm not going to choose." Then can I tell you, you can't get out of choosing. You either got to choose to or not to. All right? And can I tell you that the consequences is going to matter on how you choose. Whether or not you choose to serve the Lord, the consequences are going to follow you. If you don't choose to refuse and to stand for God and stand for what's right, regardless of the cost, then the consequences is going to be more than you want to pay with your family. That's where it's going to start. And then it'll go on then to our country and to all across. Think about that. Now, tonight I want us to look at verse 27. I want us to look here just simply this. And again, we see verse 27, it's by faith. Now, we can't stress enough. I've been looking at this chapter 11, and all the way through, all the way back in verse 4, by faith. Verse 5, by faith. Verse 6, without faith. Verse 7, by faith. Verse 8, by faith. Verse 9, by faith. Verse 11, through faith. Verse 13 said they were all in the faith. All right, verse 17, by faith. Verse 20 by faith. Verse 21 by faith. Verse 22 by faith. Verse 23 by faith. 24 by faith. 27 by faith. 28 through faith. 29 by faith. 30 by faith. 31 by faith. 33 through faith. All the way down through there is through and by faith. And can I tell you tonight that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you're not going to have the faith that's necessary if you don't stay in this Bible and read this Bible and go with this Bible. You're not going to have the faith necessary to live the way you need to live. You can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not able. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not clean enough. It's going to have to be by faith, through faith, in faith. I'm going to have to stay with this Bible before I can ever do what God wants me to do. Think about that. And it's by faith. Now you say, why is it always about? Because faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing. But this is above. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. We can't stress that enough. We've stressed it for years and years, and we can't stress it enough. That you got to not just read your Bible, but read your Bible. All right? Not just read the Word, but read your Bible. Huh? Read it. It's instruction manual. Read it. Huh? Just like you was going to try to defuse a bomb. You'd want the directions, and you want it right, wouldn't you? Yes, if you're going to say, yeah, somebody laid a bomb in your lap and said, listen, here's a bomb, here's your pliers and your wire cutters, defuse this. You got just a little bit. Here's your directions. You say, well, I don't feel like reading. I don't know if I, well, what if I don't understand? You know, the devil will slick you, and you won't even read it. And he'll tell you, well, you ain't going to understand it. Why do you bother reading it? You're not going to be able to grasp it like everybody else does. Because you already know you have problems there. You already know that you can't comprehend some things you read. You already know you're a little slow. Does the devil not ever tell you that? Huh? And you know what you ought to say? Well, you're exactly right, so I'm going to read it more. And read it slower so I can get more of it then. Amen. Huh? Don't give place to him tonight. But it's going to have to be by faith. Now, our life is going to have to live. We're going to have to live it by faith. I can't do it without this Bible. I can't do it. And you can't neither. You can't either. But look here in verse 27. It says, by faith. Now, we're talking about Moses here. Now, let's go back for just a moment. Moses, who is Moses? Why or is he even important? Well, I'm not concerned much tonight about what he did later in getting the law of God, crossing the Red Sea, getting the law of God, getting water from the rock, asking God and God raining down manna. That's all wonderful, okay? But there's something else started way back. Way back. Because of his mom and dad and instilling something. Now, it says there in the first part of Exodus, when Moses was put in the bulrushes, when he was put there in that little ark, right, I'm not sure how old he was, right, dead to the minute. Huh? I don't know. I look at these kids. How much do they know? How much does Ray Ray, how old is Ray Ray? Three. All right, Ray Ray's 3 years old. All right. Where is Oakland here tonight? Four, she's four. How old is Oakland? Two, she's two. Oakland, 2 years old, and she was singing, they sent me a hickey doodler on the phone. And said, she was singing the B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. And she's 2 years old, and she was singing about the Bible. So I don't know if you're getting ready to ship your son off in a little ark made of bulrushes. I don't know how much you would try to squeeze in that little brain squeeze in that little heart. If you know you may not see him ever again, huh? So I'm just kind of figuring. I'm not adding to the Bible. I just kind of figured Jochebed was a pretty good mama, and I believe that Jochebed made sure that Moses was instilled with something, because there was enough instilled with him that when he come around 40 years old, that the Holy Ghost was working on his heart. You say, well, how was the Holy Ghost on that? He hadn't come. The Holy Ghost has always been. He's God. He's God. He just worked a different way in the Old Testament. But can I tell you, nobody comes to the Father except the Spirit's went seen him. Draw him. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's not just for New Testament. That's a fact. You don't come to God unless the Holy Ghost draws you. Huh? Now think about that. So now we have Moses starting with that. But he had 40 years. And when we look at Moses doing anything, he had overcome the pressures. He had overcome the environment, an evil environment. Everybody says, well, I wasn't raised in the godly home which you was, Mark. No, neither was Moses. And Moses was raised in an idolatrous home. Moses was raised in a wicked home. Moses was raised in a home where the leader of that home murdered babies for pastime. That's the kind of environment that Moses was raised in. And he turned out pretty good, I think. I think Moses turned out pretty good. The way I read the Bible, I think maybe he's in the hall of faith because he turned out pretty good. So it ain't, but I want you to understand what he come from. They sung it this morning. If you had known where I'd been, if you know what I was before you found me, and then you used me like you do, it's amazing what God does with us because of grace and mercy. And we don't have, none of us have an excuse. All right? We got Brother Neff here. He's from the Philippines, which is a predominant Catholic island. That's what they are. I've been stayed. I told you, I've been stayed in their houses where they had their little spirit hut and in their little room and had their little things. I've done slept in there. And they wondered, are you going to be okay? I said, well, don't matter to me. They smell like doll babies to me. I didn't care. Well, nothing to me. But I mean, that's what he come out of. Huh? If anybody had an excuse, he would have an excuse. Right? But he don't have no excuse because Jesus saves him just like he saves all us. But see, we've got to go by faith, huh? You know what he's doing? Y'all understood what he's doing. I don't know if you can hear him good and understand. You know what he's doing? They're just going from house to house teaching the Bible. That's what he's doing, going from house to house teaching the Bible, making disciples, huh? Building the church, making disciples, huh? Doing that multiplying. That's what they're doing. That's what we ought to be doing. But we're scared to even invite somebody to church that we know. Let alone sit down with the Bible and try to disciple them. Huh? Can I tell you, none of that's going to be done without faith. Now, when we think about Moses and where he come from, Moses is up in the family. Moses is up here giving orders. If he said, boy, I'm thirsty, here comes servants bringing something to drink. He said, I'm tired, they're picking up, laying him on a bed. If I'm hungry, they're bringing platters of food. He didn't have to walk nowhere if he didn't want to. He didn't have to do anything that he didn't want to do. He'd just snap his fingers and it would be done because he was in Pharaoh's house. And he said, nope, I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that because I think serving God is of more value than any of things that Pharaoh has in his house. And tonight, we'll never get that attitude until we have faith in God that nothing else matters. When we decide that the world don't matter, then our life will be changed. When we decide the world don't matter, and we are so enveloped, engulfed, and dyed inside the world that if we turn loose of it, then people's going to think we're weird. Huh? Well, I mean, they already think we're weird. Huh? People already think you're weird. You go into a building And one man stands up and hollers at you for an hour, and you go home and say you had a good time. You're already weird. Right? See, we got to look at it by faith. Now, it says by faith, what did Moses do? By faith, he forsook. He forsook. Well, if we look at that word forsook, that means he abandoned it. He gave it up. Huh? He turned away from it entirely. Tonight, we're going to have to be willing to turn away from the world. Egypt and Pharaoh is a type of Satan and sin, and we're going to have to be willing to turn away from it entirely. Now, when I'm talking about forsaking it, that means that it don't affect me. That I'm not run by it. And he said, well, you can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Now, we got, I don't know how you ladies do. I don't know how y'all's had jobs. I don't know how they act. I know I've been around some women at work where the men did, and they probably more wicked than some of the men. I mean, pretty rough. I mean, I've heard some filth out of women's mouths, and I never had heard men talk like that. You know, but you know, me and Matt, I believe, when was it, the other night, maybe last week, maybe this morning. It's this morning, me and Matt, Frame was talking and just talking about how, it was last week that we was talking, and about how they, a bunch of men, they'll bring dirty magazines and put them on your dinner table, dirty pictures and hang them up in your locker rooms and where you change your clothes. And I never had seen a dirty magazine until I went to work in a machine shop. Huh? I was a senior in high school, and I never had seen a dirty magazine until I went, and I seen that laying on the table, and I had to move. I had to move. I don't know what kind of magazine it was, but it was the naked pictures. Huh? I can still remember the. It's a shame. That's been 44 years ago, 45 years ago. Is everybody following me? The wickedness there. Well, you get rid of it. Matt was talking about, well, you just throw it away. Well, it said, belong, don't belong to you. Well, if I'm going to have it sit there, I ain't going to look at it, so you just go throw it away. Right? There has to be a stand taken. No, I'm not doing that. But what I'm talking about tonight, when we're talking about forsaking Egypt, is that we turn from it and separate ourselves. Are we separate? Are we separate? I was reading something, I don't know, here the other day, and I thought this was unique. You know, everybody goes swimming. We've all raised up going swimming together, and we've all talked about nothing wrong with it. You know? Everybody just go swimming. Am I right? Talk to me tonight. But nobody thought nothing about going swimming. And then you know, preachers preach on it. Then you know, people get up in the air because you're preaching against swimming. And then they didn't call it swimming. Then they called it McBathing. And people said, well, yeah, you're being dogmatic and you're being legalist and everything. Well, let me ask you this. Brother Greg is our youth leader. All right? Now, we want all the young boys and all the young girls to go over to Greg and Maria's house. And we want you to take off all your clothes other than your underwear. And I want you all to play Twister in the living room floor. Would y'all think that'd be a good activity for the youth group? Well, what makes adding water to it any better? Add water and it makes it okay? Are we okay? Does everybody understand that? We wouldn't want them doing it at Greg and Maria's house, but if we add water, then it becomes swimming, and we don't think none of it. Well, I'm telling you, we're not willing to be separate and forsake Egypt or Pharaoh. But we can't if we don't have faith. We've got to do it by faith. It can't be by because somebody said we should. It can't be by a rule because it won't last. But it can last by faith. Because when you forsake it, you do it forever. You back away from it. You're done with it. Huh? And that's what Moses did here. All right? That's what Moses, we're still okay. By faith, he forsook Egypt. And then, it wasn't just he forsook Egypt by faith, but by faith, he was fearless. Because it says here, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You know what it says? By faith, he was fearless. 2 Timothy chapter 1 will tell you that God don't give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind, of power and a sound mind. Is that not right? God don't give us the fear. All right? So Moses was fearless because he had faith in God. Listen, faith in God brings boldness. It brings that there's no fear of man. Now, it shouldn't bring an uppity attitude. It shouldn't bring an overbearing attitude. It shouldn't be an attitude where we push others down. But it ought to be, by faith, a fearless faith that we don't move. Huh? That we don't move. It's seen all through the Bible. It's seen all, you know, when David had Uriah killed, and he sent the letter, and they got in the hottest battle, and put Uriah up there in the hottest battle, and backed off. You know, they backed off from him, and left him by himself, that he'd get killed. You know Uriah didn't care that everybody backed off? He was faithful. He was one of the mighty men. Uriah was one of the mighty men. Huh? And because everybody backed off from him, he didn't say, well, I'm going to go too. No, his job was to go fight. They put him in the hottest battle. Somewhere, he must have had a little bit of faith in God. I want us to understand tonight, we've done went so far backwards to get back where we're supposed to have started makes us look like we're some super Christian. And that ain't the way it ought to be. We're going to have to come back and take the stand, but it's going to have to be by faith. Do you understand tonight? That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have preaching on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we have youth group and the Bible. The Bible is promoted in everything we do. We're going to have a carnival thing in June. But can I tell you, it won't be without preaching. Huh? We have senior dinners, and all of us older people get together and eat and laugh, but we won't leave without the Bible. Huh? The Bible's got to be the center of everything we do, whether it's eating brown beans and cornbread downstairs or a turkey dinner or up at the carnival or anywhere we are. The Bible's got to be why? Because it's by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this Bible's going to strengthen me and enable me to be the Christian that I'm supposed to be. Huh? That's why. That's why we're all excited about this Bible Institute. Because we're going through the Bible. Page after page after page, going through the Bible. And I don't know about the rest of it, but it's strengthening me. I'm asking God, through this Bible class, I hope you change my preaching. I hope you give me more ammunition. I hope that you change my mind and use me in the depth of the Word of God that I might proclaim everything that God has. Huh? And I'm having a ball with it. Huh? But so we see here, by faith he forsook Egypt, and by faith he was fearless. He wasn't afraid of the wrath. He wasn't afraid of what was happening around him. He wasn't afraid of what the king may do. See, you understand, if you go back and you read about Moses, Moses was there when the Egyptian was killed, and then Pharaoh heard about it. And the Bible says that Moses was afraid and run. He fled. That's what the Bible says. But he didn't know the Lord then. But just soon he got out there for them years in the wilderness, and he had his burning bush experience where he met the Lord. The first thing he done was went back to Pharaoh's door, right into the throne room, and said, let my people go. Now, he run before he knew the Lord, but after he knew the Lord, there wasn't no run in him. Everybody understand? They had a little bit of fear, it says, and Moses was afraid and fled.
But after he met the Lord and talked with the Lord, and he seen the rod turn into the serpent. He seen his hand turn leprous and then cleaned up when he put it in his bosom. When he seen, man, I got the I am that is I am. I got faith in him. Okay, I can't talk plain, but make me an appointment with Pharaoh and let my people go. And it was because of faith with God. Do you understand that tonight? And that's the way we can be, but it's going to have to be by faith. It's going to have to be by faith tonight. We're still okay. But think about this. His boldness, his boldness come because of his faith in God. Because of what? His ability. Because Moses told the Lord, he said, I can't do it. I can't do it. What do we always say when the Lord challenges us or asks us to? I can't. Isn't that right? Well, Moses said the same thing. He said, my speech ain't good. Now, I don't know whether he just stuttered and stammered or he's weak or his voice was high-pitched. I mean, he might have one of them squeaky voices. I don't know. But it didn't matter. Because God gave him a backbone. And tonight, that's what we need. We need a backbone to stand upon the Word of God. See, it's not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. But look what else he done. Now, he forsook Egypt. All right, by faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, he was fearless. We're still okay. And then by faith, he endured. He endured. Now, do you know what? When you sum it all up, you look up in the dictionary, endure and all that. He continued. He didn't quit. He didn't quit. Endure means you just suck it up and go. You don't quit. Endure means he continued to bear. To suffer without without resistance. To bear without breaking. Think about that. To bear without breaking. To pressure. That's what endure means. Are you listening to me? To bear without breaking to pressure. To bear with patience. Yeah. And that wore me out. I looked at that and said, my, I might can handle to go ahead and do it with handle the pressure. Man, I got to do it with patience. See, what he done, he didn't go back to the old way because it got hot. He didn't quit because it got a little tight. Because of the pressure. You understand the pressure that he was on when he went back into the palace of Pharaoh? When he went in there to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, Pharaoh said, no, I ain't letting your people go. I ain't going to do it. And Moses said, well, he didn't just say okay. He said, then Pharaoh, and I picture him, you know, like in the Ten Commandments on the TV, Charlton Heston's big booming voice, you know, I picture him. Maybe they had a little high squeaky voice. I don't know. But I can just picture him said, Pharaoh, cause you say no, judgment will come tonight. And he walked out straight with that rock. I don't believe he ran. Next day, here he come. Pharaoh, let my people go. I ain't going to do it. Well, then here comes jumping in. Every time, he didn't quit. He didn't say, he ain't listening to me. Nobody will listen to me. I tell them and I try to do right and I try to stand and nobody will listen to me. And they want to hurt my feelings. They want to say things that bother me. Moses endured. He endured the pressure. Now, he didn't just go in the palace, just him and Pharaoh by the. You know where he went was all the people that he had served idols with. Did you ever think of that? The pressure. Boy, it's pressure going back to the gang. It's pressure going back to the ones you run up and down the road with. Sinned with, and drank, and cast, and done. It's pressure when you go back to Moses endured. He didn't succumb to the pressure. You know why? Because it was by faith. It wasn't by Moses' strength. It was by faith in God. It was by him talking to God, God talking to him. How does God talk to us today? He talks us to his word by faith. But faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Can we go back over, round and round and round? We're going to come back to this book tonight. We're still okay? But he endured. He didn't go back to the old ways. He stuck in there. He didn't run somewhere else because it got a little hot. Huh? Sometimes people leave church because it gets a little hot. Huh? Gets a little tight. You know, we used to call it when the preacher plows too close to the corn, then you go somewhere, another field somewhere. Huh? We still okay? Is everybody all right? But we got to endure. Huh? You know how come me and Cheryl have been married for almost 43 years? We've endured some things. One another. Have we not? Huh? You think we got a perfect home? Huh? You think we do? We don't have a perfect home. We don't sleep in separate beds when we're up a mystery. We don't do that. We may not go to bed at all. We don't go to bed arguing. We might not sleep at night, but we're not going to argue. Huh? We don't. I mean, is that not the truth? 43 years, we don't go to bed pouting. Now, we'd like to say, we just might not sleep for a week or two. But, huh? Right? No, we don't do that either. I'm talking about, but there's things you endure. What do you endure? You endure the habits of other people. You endure the things other people do that just rankles you. What other people say, where other people go. You endure it and you stick in there because that's just the way you got to do it. You just stick in there because it's right, because of love. Can I tell you that faith in God promotes my love for God? And if faith in God promotes my love, then I'm going to stick in there and endure the pressure that comes with being a Christian. Because other people don't want you being a Christian. They don't. The world ain't your friend. Your lost friends. They was your friends when you were a sinner. Now they may be friendly, but they're no longer your friends. It ain't your fault. It's their fault. They still may help you if you're stuck up. They still may help you fix a flat tire. They may help you patch a roof, or they may help you catch night crawlers to go fishing. But there's going to be a line somewhere that they're not going to be what they was. Because you're a Christian. And we make people uncomfortable. Because we're enduring. We're continuing. We're still okay? Huh? He never ran away. Now, how did he do it? How did he do it? Well, it's by faith, right? By faith, by faith, by faith. But look in verse 27 again. I'll finish up here. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. How did he endure? As seeing him who is invisible. As seeing him, who is that? Huh? We're going to have to set our sights on somebody else other than those around us that would cause pressure or will cause us to be bumped to the side. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord. It says over in Timothy, 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, to the king and potentate and the invisible God. Huh? Everybody remember that scripture? To the only king and potentate and invisible God. Well, he's seen him who's invisible. Seen the Lord. Huh? Right? What was it saying? Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Talking about the image of the invisible God. That Christ is the image of the invisible God. We okay? Who's he looking at? He's looking at the Lord. He's looking at the Lord. You've got to have faith and look to the Lord. Can I tell you that somewhere down the line, if it ain't already happened, and I'm sure most of it's already happened the most, somewhere the preacher's going to gum up and let you down. Don't look to the preacher. Don't look to the assistant preacher. Don't look to the deacon. We're a sorry lot. We really are. And if you look to us, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get discouraged. You're going to feel like you're not loved. You're going to feel like you've been shunned if you look to us. And you may have been shunned, but not purposely. And you're loved whether you understand it or not. And you may have been let down because we can only do so much because we're just like you. But if you look to the Lord, then you're never disappointed. And you're never let down. And he don't never discourage you. And he don't never fall short. That he's more than enough for every situation. And he you can't get away from him. Now, if we was around you like the Lord is, y'all would tell us to get away from you. Because we get on you, just don't get away. Give us room. But the Lord is around you. If you read your Bible, he's in front of you. He's behind you. He's on your left hand. He's on your right hand. He's above you. He's below you. He's in you. He's all around you. He's sitting high, looking low. You can't get shut of it. Think about that. Think about that. So we got to concentrate on him who's invisible. What enabled them old boys when they tied him to the stake? And he said, can you give us a sign? Oh, I read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you've never done it, it would do you good to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I've read it about, I believe his name might have been Latimer. And they said, give us a sign if he's faithful. And they tied him to the stake, and they put him in a half a barrel of tar, and they piled all the faggots around him, all the little sticks and the corn husks and everything. Set him afar, And as he stood there, and his body melted, his fingers dropped off, and his hands dropped off, and they thought he was dead, and all the people were saddened. And it says that all at once he took the stubs of his arms and clapped them together and lifted his head. And they said he's faithful to the end. Why? How do you think they done that? Because they was looking at he who is invisible. Man, that's what increases my faith. It's the Lord. I'm serving, you understand the God that we're serving tonight. We're serving the God that lives in me. Is the God that said, let there be light. It's the God that made the heavens and the earth. It's the God that put the stars in the sky. It is the God that parted the seas and parted the rivers and caused the water to come from the rock. It's the God that left heaven and died on Calvary, was buried and rose again, that laid his life down and picked it up again. That's the God that cannot fail, the God that always supplies, the God that never makes a mistake, the God that never leaves me nor forsakes me, the God that hears me when I pray, the God that walks by me day after day after day and night after night after night. Oh, and then when I focus on him who's invisible, oh, my faith is increased. And I can go another day. I can go another hour because it's this wonderful God that it lives inside of me. My, 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 he lives in me. Think about that tonight. He just looks to the Lord. Look over in chapter 12, verse 2. We okay? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, well, let's just read 1 and 2. And they're back to 4. Let's just read chapter 12. Wherefore? That wherefore, what is it, Kim Childers? It's wherefore, she's in a nursery. It's where, there's a wherefore, because there's a there. The reason it's therefore, and wherefore is therefore because of all this other stuff. Okay? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I drop back to verse 27, chapter 11. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. I'm just wanting you to know it's in there. He shows us an example. He endured the cross, and Moses endured everything, seeing him do him. Are we okay tonight? I just want you to understand this evening that we can do it by faith. And it's time we do it. It's time. It's time we rise up. It's time we rise up and go. How do you do things? We're all going through troubles. Me and my family, we've been hit a lot here. It rained pretty hard around our place for several months. Then I looked here at Miss Becky. Becky, you buried your mama and your daddy. Okay? Your health ain't good. Take care of your brother. Your heart's been broken 1,000 times minutely. Over and over and over. And how do you go? Because it ain't you, see. Now listen, but I look at y'all, and y'all been through things as well. I buried an uncle who was like my brother. I buried Daryl. Last September, when BB was talking, I said, BB, he said, what do you think is going to take place, Mark? I said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Before this time next year, I'm going to bury Holly, and I'm going to bury Daryl, and I'm going to bury Mommy in that order. That's what I told BB last September. I said, I'm going to bury Holly Ray, then we're going to bury Daryl, and then we'll bury Mama. I knew that as sure as I was standing there talking to you. But that ain't all it's been. We had cancer with Abby, Daryl's treatments, my Uncle Holly, heart attacks, Parkinson's disease, dealing with family there, health problems, all right? There's just been a lot. And you wonder, how do you go? Well, you can't not. You got to keep on. But then I look at you, and you're going through things, okay? I was looking through, I keep a list, or I try to this year anyway, doing a little bit different in my records, and I look at what all happened in January, what all happened in February. And I do each Sunday, attend Sunday school, full attendance, Sunday school, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, baptisms, salvation professions, and then anything goes on. And there we had how many deaths we had in January that I didn't preach a funeral. I had 10 funerals myself, and from November until last week, and just over and over and over, just stuff. Everybody, family's going through stuff, right? And I was looking I had 587 calls in January. I had 460 some calls in February, and I had 508 calls in March. Okay? Plus, averaging a little better than 1,000 miles a week, every week, from Christmas to last week. Just me. All right? Not me and Cheryl, just where I've had to go. Right? I'm trying not to complain, to attend is a lot. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's not counting, we had Christmas. Had Valentine's Day. You got to stop every now and then. Right? What I'm trying to get you to understand, there's a lot goes on. And if you would pattern your life out and see and write it down, you would say, how in the world am I doing what I'm doing?
That's right. Yeah.
If you think about the hospital, the doctor's visits, your own visits, your medicine, if you think about everything, where you've had to be with your family, where you had to do that, the time, the hours. Can I even tell you the hours that I've spent the last 40 years in a hospital? I couldn't count how many hours I've spent in a hospital waiting room or in the bed myself. Couldn't do it. How do you go? You can't go on your own strength. You've got to have faith in God. And I'm not saying, I'm telling you, I fail. I'm just like anybody else. But Father, what pushes you? What pushes you? What makes you go? And I was reading this afternoon, I was reading some biographies. And if we got done with lunch, I come back and was studying a little bit. And I was reading about Elizabeth. We all know, most everybody ought to know Elizabeth Elliot. All right? How many know who Elizabeth Elliot is? You know who Elizabeth Elliot? Be good for you to get on the computer and read about Elizabeth Elliot. Her husband, Jim Elliot, in 1956, he was missionaries to Ecuador, and Jim Elliot and his wife Elizabeth and their little baby, had a little baby girl named Valerie, and they went to Ecuador as missionaries, and they went to the adjacent tribe of Indians in 1956, and Jim Elliot and four others, if I'm right, four other missionaries went, and they went over to try to get them the gospel. And they speared them, killed them, they murdered all five of the missionaries. They murdered them. And Elizabeth Elliot said, well, somebody's got to win them. So she started, because they was one of that tribe in her village where she was staying, where they was already preaching, teaching. She said, I want you to teach me all about your language and your ways. And then she left, that woman left the village, and a little while later she come back with three more from her village that killed her husband and them other missionaries, and she said, all I want is you to teach me everything you can about them. And then after all that was done, in just a couple, 3 years, she put her three-year-old daughter, Valerie, on her back in a backpack, and her and another lady missionary went to the tribe that killed her husband. Not for revenge, but because they needed the gospel. And when they got there, instead of being speared and killed, when they got there, they was welcomed with open arms. And they was able to give them to the gospel and stay and see many people come to Christ. Now, how would somebody do that? Huh? If you had killed my family, I don't know that I would want to give you the gospel. I would want to give you a hollow point. Huh? It's a bullet, in case you don't know what that is. But by faith. By faith, this woman took a three-year-old girl. And they said, you can't do that. And I'm going to read to you this, and I'm going to quit. Said, perhaps Elizabeth Elliot's whole philosophy of life and ministry can be summed up in the words she once wrote. We have proved beyond any doubt that He, meaning God, means what He said. His grace is sufficient. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. We pray that if any, anywhere, are fearing that the cost of discipleship is too great, they may be given a glimpse of that treasure in heaven promised to all who forsake. That's a pretty good quote. You know what else she said? When he strapped that little girl on her back and went to the village, they said, "What if they kill you?" She said, "If that's what God has purposed for my life, then so be it. So be it." You know why? Because by faith, she forsook, she endured, and she looked. And I challenge us tonight to forsake this sickening world. Endure what comes, let her come what may, and look to Him. Who's invisible. Father, Lord, I pray just now that something might lodge in our heart and our mind, that we might apply the Word of God, that our faith will be increased by the Word of God. You're not going to give us no supernatural feeling. Lord, I understand that you're going to increase my faith by hearing and reading this blessed book. Lord, I pray tonight that we might get that in our mind and our heart. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, and amen.